as a voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me, love me with your whole heart, he wants it all today. Serve me with your life now, he wants it all today. He wants it all today, he wants it all today, he wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all.
Of Jesus Christ, Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we would more know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power you have made available to those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking that you bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the courage and the strength to carry it out, to be so that we will be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the heart of your people that which you would have me to say. Let it be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's something. Amen. I forgot. Let's just do this quickly. Father God, we're asking that you would bless the bereaved. Amen. That are yet among us. Bless them, strengthen them with might. Amen. In the challenges that they are facing, bless them to know that you had it all planned out. Amen. That in the event that we should have to leave here, we would have someplace glorious to go. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. You know, it's been interesting. You know, this life is interesting right now. We know it's the last days, and it's challenging. Amen. I've had 3 people that I knew well that passed. 4, actually, that passed. You know, 2 I know the exact destination of, 2 I did not, but amen. At least I believe I know the destination based on testimony and the relationship we'd had. And this is no real, shouldn't be no shock, but it's amazing that it is. I guess we've been expecting this day. I've been hearing about the end time since I committed to Christ in 1976, totally. And now that we are in that phase, and in the book of Revelation, and when it talks about the woman in travail, that's a woman that's pregnant, about to give birth. And if you know anything about birth, that the closer it gets to the birth of a new life, the pain gets worse and more frequent. So, you know, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. This is it's expected. When you do, you know, I have on a sweatshirt. So it says, God is, my daughter gave it to me. It says, God is dope. It was kind of challenging for me. I'm like, okay. And I realized in this generation, that's a different word. Like, gave in my generation was a happy person, not a person that, you know, decided to change their lifestyle from what God had designed. So when I it left a space, so I slid in that space and says, God is my dope. Because that's, in my case, what happened. I switched dope, narcotics, for the true and the living God in November 16, 1976. God baptized me with his Holy Spirit, something I was not expecting. Amen. And we're still talking about that. Because this is the culmination of, as I call it, Gen Man Part 2, second generation man. Okay, first generation man, amen, was from Adam all the way up to Jesus. Amen. And he was a different character, a little bit slightly. Man did not, all men were not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, in whom the Spirit of the God, in whom the Spirit was. The Bible speaks occasionally. I'm not going to go back through those individuals that, like Caleb, it says, in whom, Caleb was a friend of Joshua during the time of Moses, it says, in whom Spirit was. And talking about, thus, when it says the Spirit, it's talking about, not talking, and in Caleb's case, it's talking about the Spirit of God. So it was given to the leadership primarily, you know, or a person with a specific assignment, you know. But now in our time, we receive Christ. And I explained what Christ meant. It explained that in that one name is the process of the washing, the blood, and the anointing or the Spirit. We explained that the Old Testament, the Messiah was the anointed one. In the New Testament is Christ. In the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, and the New Testament is written in Greek. And it really, we're still at the very, 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 very beginning of mankind. We because we've been here 6,000 years. Man has. I'm going by the Bible. You know, these scientists talk about millions of years. You know, you know, that's them. Amen. They didn't ask God about it. So I unless a person can tell me they got before God and asked him, I don't care, because that's their mind. They're missing the whole point. As I've been trying to explain, is it's about our makeup, and the man is a spirit himself. He has a mind, will, and emotion, and he lives in the body. That mind is how he directs his in, focuses energy. His will is his application toward that energy, and his emotion is evaluation of everything that's related to that. And where our character, our likeness, is where we get into trouble, because we are our separate individual. We have the right to think and do as we please. And what God is expecting is that we will love him. And I explained that the love he's talking about is agape love, which you find the definition and the breakdown in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. And that's repeated throughout the Bible. So, this message is who and what is Jesus the Christ? And this is part 13, I believe. And I began the Old Testament trying to give reference and show how this has been part of the process. The Old Testament is what is called types and shadows, because we're talking about tremendous power. And when we get to Jesus, we get to the point where I pointed out some facts that people didn't know, that, like, after his resurrection, I mean, people knew he walked on water. And they thought it did have something to do with him being holy. But it says that God trusted him with that power to do the right thing. And we can see with money that people won't do the right thing, because that's the same thing. What people do with money is what God see that they would do if he gave them access to the same power that Jesus had. That's what they would do with it. They would abuse it. They would abuse people. We had a recent, y'all know of, a situation where this man, this very rich man, was abusing little girls, okay? Because why? He thought he had enough money to buy enough lawyers to allow him to be able to commit sin at a level that was, you know, ridiculous. And so now, that ain't the case. And that is because one of the factors that they are not aware of, and a lot of people are not aware of, is the body of Christ has grown up some in the last 25 and 30 years. More of us right now pray effectively than they did in the past. And that's what has brought about a change. And I credit, we just recently celebrated the Dr. Martin Luther King, that he really illustrated that in pulling the cover off of racism in America, amen, which has impacted the whole world, actually. You got other countries that are yet fighting for their rights, and this is what people want. But what they don't understand is somebody somewhere was praying. Now we're moving into another level here. We got up to the point where when Jesus, after his resurrection, amen, he breathed on the disciples, amen, in John chapter 20. And that, now mind you, he breathed when he's in the fullness of the power of God. Remember, he said in Matthew 28 that all power is given unto him. Now, we're not talking about breath like yours. Definitely not talking about breath like yours. His breath was righteous. Amen. But this breath had life in it, a level that we really barely comprehend. We will be able to, as time go on, particularly when we get into the millennial reign. Think about that. Jesus is actually coming back physically, not spiritually. Not, you know, and a lot of time people think of spiritual as like some mental ascent. No, we're talking about a physical person. Spiritual realm is really where everything you have access to, you're in full command of. Gravity doesn't impact you. It impacts you, but it doesn't control you. Right now, you can't just rise as you please. During that period, you will be able to. If you look in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was leaving his disciples, he just rose up in the air. And it's hard for men to comprehend. saying that because I saw on the History Channel that they claimed that that would happen because Jesus got beamed up. No, he did not get beamed up. See, this is the whole issue. God want us to master love, okay, master agape love, so that he can give us full access to his power. Now, and I'm hearing as we move in, I've heard for the last several years or more about toward the end there will be more miraculous events happening. And that is because there are more Christians that are maturing to the point that God can release them to utilize that power without it going to their head. There have been periods of time in the history, like in the early 1900s, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in a greater measure, amen, and it wasn't long before I was surprised. There's a book called God's Generals, and I recommend that you read it, whether you're in the ministry or not, particularly if you're in the ministry. You know, this is why Apostle Paul said that you don't want to give a novice authority in the church. You want him to go through a training process. And that is because we have to remember there's another force out there, and that's Satan and his gang. And he is bent on corruption. And so he tends to take people, when they get a little something going, he tends to pervert and corrupt them. This is, you see this repeatedly throughout the Bible. Like when we were talking about the early part of the anointing, we talked about Samson and how Satan tricked him with a woman. You know, I mean, Satan understand how this flesh works. He may not have experienced it, you know, as we have, but he studied it and seen the impact. And he've used tests, obviously, you know, in communicating with people and convinced them to think as he imposed his thoughts on them. You know, he doesn't control many people. You know, at some point he did learn how to do that because we found that Jesus encountered people, like in Mark chapter 5, of a man that was possessed by a whole horde of demons. As a matter of fact, the numbers are between 4,000 and 5,000. And there's revelation there. I implore you to ask God how that relates to disease, because he'll teach you something. Tell you, I've used that concept from what I've learned from that to defeat one of the most notorious demons on the planet, and his name is cancer. That's all he is, okay? They call it, it's understandable that doctors call him a disease, but he is actually a person with an intelligence. He knows more about your body than you do. That is why him and his army can come in and try to attack the specific areas of your body to cause your demise. He's been successful in a lot of cases, but that's because those individuals don't really know what they were dealing with, or they knew, and they're out of alignment with the Word of God. I don't know. I didn't know them personally, but I do know I have documentation on how to beat that. But I particularly took the battle because I was taught to learn to fight. You know, the first lady of our church years ago, at least two decades, I heard her say, don't just run to the cabinet when you get sick, when you get the flu or get a headache. Start applying the principles and the power of God on it. That rung a bell in me. And from that point on, I began to fight with this bug called flu that we commonly call flu. And as a result of fighting with flu, I became a fighter. I haven't had flu and I don't even know when. Okay, and I don't get flu shot, and I'm not recommending that you don't, okay? But I'm just telling you what it is. But I also have learned criteria of standard based on the Word of God that I must live by. So it ain't I can live any old kind of way, say any old kind of thing, do any old kind of thing, and the power of God work. That isn't how God operates. Let me make that simple. I mean, the whole point of this, remember, God is expecting us to develop at least a basic concept of discipline so that we can be endued with the fullness of his power. Remember, there's going to come an 8,000-year reign on this planet, 1,000 years. Why? Why 1,000 years? Why are there going to be two types of people doing that 1,000 years? Okay. Now, why? Because we don't know what this is like. Some things you don't know until you experience them. None of all the the people that I've known that were in Christ and just passed over to the other side, they now fully understand why God required the dominance of love in our heart. And this is a very important point. Because we're talking about here, we last time we were talking about the day of Pentecost when the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which according to Matthew 3:11 is administered by Jesus. Okay, you know, he controls that. Hallelujah. And the fact of the matter is that we're talking about yet another level of power. People that race, you know, or just say it's the difference between your home heater and having a nuclear power plant. Think about that. Your little furnace at home, and then in the backyard, you got a nuclear power plant. That's how much difference it is between just having the spirit of man and the Holy Spirit of God. I know, because, see, we don't get to do the things that Jesus did. We don't get to walk on water. We can't fly. We can't really move the mountain, even though we could. The earth would be flat by now because everybody be trying their power. All kind of stuff would be happening because people don't stop and think. I mean, in this country, they blew up 1,013 nuclear bombs before they even stopped to think, or somebody had to tell them, like, oh, wait a minute, you know the laws of matter? Radiation ain't going nowhere. It's stuck in our atmosphere. So for you people that are concerned about global warming, my suggestion is don't get left behind. But the book of Revelation, go to show, talks about an impact that science ain't even talking about. It's going to get ugly if time's ugly, I'm telling you. All right, so we're talking, what are we talking about? God wants us to learn to love as he loves. And one of the ways that he has done that is giving us access through his power through this event called prayer. His prayer is Father, Mother, much more than our Father who art in heaven. That's really a prayer outline. Jesus' prayer, the Lord's prayer, is actually in John chapter 17. If you read that, you'll see that's an actual prayer. Amen. And you really need to read that. Because he's made some declarations. Bottom line is, you're the overcomer. So the only way you don't complete this journey is that you don't complete it. You decide not to complete it. It ain't that the devil can stop you. All right. So we're talking about this major event we talked about in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Amen. Where the fact that they received, the Spirit came in a mighty way, an astounding way, you know. And it's always astounding. I mean, I've experienced in my lifetime events that are just mind-blowing. That if you weren't there, I couldn't really explain it to you. I've seen supernatural miracles unfold before my very eyes, not to mention myself, you know. I mean, listen, when you use chemical drugs, I don't care who you are, how strong you think your mind is. When you get into chemical narcotics, listen, it changes your biological function of your body, and it becomes very dependent on that. It's the quick people, those of you that try to walk away from sugar, you know, quit drinking Pepsi. That was one of the biggest battles. No, it wasn't a big battle, but Pepsi is a big battle, man. Just stay away from cake and all. I tell you what, stay away from all sugar for a month. All sugar for a month. You'll get an idea. And then for God to snap that in a heartbeat, That's enlightening. Plus the fact, I mean, God rearranged some stuff in me that I've been this way ever since. The only thing that's changed since then is my body's got a little bit thicker, and, you know, my face got gray in the mustache and all that. But inside, I feel the same. I feel the same. And see, and this is that's that regenerating power. We're going to get to that at some point in time. The Bible, when you really look at it, give you an analysis of this power in so many different aspects. See, we all think of it, the primary focus with most people is money. Let me tell you about money. Stay out of debt. Pastor Gerald be preaching that every year. He holds a seminar on faith and finances, and to stay out of debt. That's that lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Get a plan from God to get what you want. That's you know, you won't even be worried about all that, because There are other things to be focusing your time and energy on. Right now, you want to be used of God. I'm having these events with people. Two people told me that our meeting was a divine event because they needed something. Because people are struggling right now. I met a lady, her daughter, she was telling me her daughter's soul, she's 7 years old and she was afraid of dying. So I had these cards, little business cards, and on one side, you know, is a prayer of salvation. And I told her, that's your guarantee. Be able, Peter said, to be able to explain the promises of God. That's in 1 Peter 3:15. Be prepared. Don't, you know, have that, you, the Bible was written for us to have that information to share. You know, everybody, you know, this is one of the things we talked about. Jesus said, go ye, make disciples. You know, I remember talking to a young man for a long time at work, and eventually it got through to him. See, I remember one of my relatives, you know, my late brother-in-law, you know, I remember he came up to me and told me he watched me for 12 years. And then he committed his life to Christ, and then he just was totally sold out. Same experience. See, he watched me. You know, what he saw, he said he saw how whenever I fell down, I just got back up and went at it again. That encouraged him that, like I tell people, if you keep going, you got to keep going. Why? See, it'd be different if Satan was physical and we was mano a mano. I beat the slop out that dude, all the trouble he been giving me. Boy, you talk about unleashing hatred. See, this is the other thing. Now, get this. Let's look at this. The day of Pentecost had come, all right, and God began this event supernaturally. That's his introduction, kind of like that was Dave Moses in the bull rush when Moses walked him on a bush that was burning, but yet it wasn't burning. You know, God does those type of things, and ever since I've been and it just by providence of God, I wound up at a church where this was a common event. And the fact of the matter is, back then in the 70s, there was this little thing going on with Christians that versus the tongues prayers versus the non-tongue prayers. And I want to get into, let me go back and review what Peter said to the how he responded on the day of Pentecost, or how he responded to his brethren that was there that did not understand what was going on. I'm going to chapter 2 of the book of Acts in verse 14. And then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Okay? Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the signs and above and the earth below and blood and fire and billows of smoke. And that's about what's going on right now. You know, the sky and the volcanoes blowing up and everything else. So bottom line is, here this event happened. It didn't happen in a quiet place. It happened in the middle of a lot of people. Jerusalem was crowded right then. There were men from all over. Matter of fact, if you go back to verse 9, it says, now this is the key one, verse 8. Okay, verse 7, because that's very important. It says, utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who speaking Galileans? Okay, then how is it each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and some parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Jews, proselytes, now called Christians. Anyway, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Now, some things I want to point out right there. One, the Galilean. One area it talks about when it refers to the Galileans, they speak of them as unlearned men. Let me see where I got that wrote down. Oh, yeah. And later on in Acts chapter 4, they call them unlearned men in Acts 4, verse 8, I believe. Now, the Galileans was, let's say, like, you picture it out, like the area where there are people that graduated from high school and stopped there or didn't graduate versus those that went on and graduated from college. So you got a difference of class structure, economic structure here. So they recognize that the Galileans, to have that capability to speak these languages, particularly there are different levels of the Hebrew language, the Aramaic being the highest, I believe, and they were clearly speaking that. Now this, like I say, that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. What you need to understand from that is that he can enhance your intelligence, and it can be used for every of your life. If you're in high school, you should be one of the best students if you learn how to utilize this. You know, before I came on there, I was praying in the Spirit. That's saturating yourself with the Spirit of God. You raise the level of the Spirit of God. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and it said they were all filled. That's the area I want to focus on today. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now think about that. See, we run through things so quickly that we don't really stop and comprehend and investigate what that means. You know, I hear 9 times out of 10, I only hear the reference to speaking in tongues. But okay, we're going to look at some situations where it meant more than that. First, we want to go to Acts chapter 4. Where Peter, now we'd have moved on from that point. Okay, and here's another situation. Here we go down to verse 8. All right, let me bring you up to speed right now with what is going on here. Now, mind you, okay, you done had the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You done had the day of Pentecost. Jesus then sent back the Holy Spirit. That's on the day of Pentecost. Now remember, you got both of these are Jews, okay, as they are commonly called, okay, children of Israel. So now you're bringing yet another cultural change, but not just a cultural change. A cultural change in the area in how God deals with man. And that is still being challenged by the body of Christ, no less, today, 2022. You know, this area still, because, saints, let me tell you something. Everything negative going on in the world today is simply the result of the children of God not utilizing the fullness that they have been allowed of the power of God simply by praying. So few Christians, I have a poll on my Facebook page, you know, you can probably reach it by Richard Overall, and when I put this statistic in my book that is coming out, publisher wanted to know, where did I get my statistics? Well, I've been asking this question for 45 years because, you know, even though I got delivered in what they would call a holiness church, that's, you know, that ain't church Christian is all you gonna be. But anyway, all right. Basically, church where speaking in tongues was a common event. All right. But even then, I found people. Now, the one of the outstanding things back, we're talking the 70s now. Back then, all members didn't carry Bibles to churches. Matter of fact, because I remember because I carried a Bible with me, people assumed I was a minister. And that I found unusual because they were going to a different type of church where the teaching was somewhat different. And it's like only the ministers had to read the Bible. And it's still common in some churches today. Some churches still believe there's a ban on reading the Bible, but that actually ended with the Catholic Church had a ban from the 1500s to 1950 that no member of the Roman Catholic Church could own a Bible. You know, and I even met a person that bragged on the fact, I had never read a Bible. And I'm like, wow, how you going to study to show yourself approved unto God if you don't? See, this is why you must go to God. You must go to God. All right. So what we got here is a cultural change. So you got the leadership that is still under the Old Testament. This is still new going on with them. So this is, it's not something easy to, you know, when you're talking about God, the criticalness is when you die, you want to go to heaven. So you're going to be a little concerned when somebody tells you something different. Even though everything that Peter and them does was documented. For instance, when I read this, he mentioned that what happened on the day of Pentecost was written in the book of Joel in the Old Testament. So it was manifesting then. Okay? And that's the key. That's one of the key factors. You know, my pastor has a saying that if I can't show it to you in the Bible, you have no obligation to believe it. See, so, and that's a fact, because at the end of the day, you're going to answer to God and God alone, and you're going to answer on your own for what you believe in. You ain't going to be able to say, well, my pastor told me. No, he's going to like, what held you up from reading the Word? If you're not blind, and even if a Bible in Braille, and if you're not mentally malformed, you ain't going to be able to pass that. You ain't going to be able to make that excuse. Okay, so I bring that out because it starts out with this conversation with Caiaphas, the high priest, okay? And it came to pass on the morrow, okay, we're doing good. It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now, they're talking about an event where, you know, this miracle has happened. All right. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Okay? Now, basically a man that had never walked, Peter and him, ministered to him, God healed him, amen, and the man was able to walk. So they rightfully gave, made a demand to know how they were able to do this, because there's this thing that's been going on for historically called witchcraft, which is illegal use of power, okay? Now, but again, this is breakthrough, this is change here. Now, my point here is we're talking about the word field, okay? So again, field here give Peter this boldness. See, now, understand what happened before. The filling began, no doubt, before they went out and encountered this man. And there's a simple process. One is Ephesians 5:18 tells you, Paul said, be not drunk with wine, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. How? By singing psalms, hymns, making melodies in your heart unto the Lord. See, and this is why a lot of time, probably some of you have experienced it, And that is the presence of God, why you were simply praising him at home or in your car, you know. It really amazes me how that works. But this is how God set that up, process of worshiping him that draws in the presence of God. And when the presence shows up, the power shows up. When the presence shows up, the power shows up. This is why they sing in church. More happen. You know, you get robbed when you show up at church late, if you can be there on time. Now, I realize a lot of people work and different reasons for not being able to get there on time, but when you can't, you really get robbed, because corporate prayer and worship produces more power than by itself. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, because, again, what I want you to understand is this is a process. And particularly now, when we're dealing with, you know, Corona did not cure cancer. Corona did not cure HIV. And a lot of people probably found out that they would have been here and been able to serve God longer simply by praising God and indulging more into submission to God, spirit to spirit. Hear that. Because, you know, there's men, I'm not going to call them out there, but they dedicated to reading the Bible. You can read the Bible, and it will give, you can get revelation, but revelation, even in that case, will be limited to your acceptance of what's been revealed to you. God is economical. If he tells you something and you don't believe that, he's not going to tell you nothing else. He's not going to. He's not going to waste his time trying to convince you. I've learned that lesson. You know, when I got to Titus 3:9 and he said, don't debate, I stopped debating with people. I took the word. He said, don't debate, because I can't change your mind. People will try to match you. You say a scripture, they say a scripture. No, they need a revelation. I will pray for you, and I do. I always do, you know. But what we're talking about here now is the process of learning to be submissive to God. Sometimes, and somebody recently told me, because we were talking about, you know, I had this mindset that there was no such thing as silent prayer, and somebody corrected me. There is. There's a time of meditation silently where you are pursuing the will of God. You're sitting there listening, but you're yet communicating, because God is the only person in the entire universe that can read your mind. The devil cannot read your mind. Remember that. That's very important. The devil don't know the future. He can set up events and he can whisper into your ears certain events and then set up events to follow through to make it seem like he know the future. That's how he tricked people outside of the body of Christ, and even some in the body of Christ, into believing that he's giving them a revelation, but if it don't match the word, it didn't come from God. God never breaks his word. God never breaks his word. Let me give you a quickie, one you can relate to. God won't give you a number. Listen, he don't do that. I once asked God for the 6-digit to the lotto. I just figured I'd cut to the quick, because God knows the future. One, that would be cheating. Two, he simply said, no, I want you to do something everybody can do. So that wasn't going to be it. And it's a process, because our lives are supposed to be about being where God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do. You know, I'm glad that another man of God at a higher level poked a hole in this thing called pursue your dreams. Listen, that should be in relation to having asked God what that dream would be. Because if you go all your life only having done your will, you're going to appear before God empty-handed. And that you're going to feel depressed, the impact of once you arrive in heaven. The worst condition, there's I can't think of the man's name, it's a rich guy that died and spent 11 hours in heaven, and he found out he had nothing over there, despite all his wealth over here. And I believe God took him on that journey for that specific reason. Because people are saying his very good. Idolatry would not have the impact that it have if it wasn't sweet as candy. See, we are more, you got, be conscious of these things, lust of the flesh, to the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are Satan's weapons that he used to distract us from what God has designed for us. Now, again, it's simply asking God, what is his will for your life? I mean, he no question, he may, somebody got to be a designer. Somebody got to be an engineer. Somebody got to be a, you know, I don't think he care about people going out in space, but a lot of the conveniences we enjoy now is the result of our intelligence. He gave us a brain. I mean, he gave us an entire level of intelligence. We actually have God-level intelligence. He just limits how much of it we use. There's a man, if you study his history, Archimedes, he was a great mathematician that had math skill equal to anybody in NASA today. That was 300 years before Jesus. But when Jesus showed up, when no cars, none of what we have today did not exist. No cell phones, none of that. That would have made life a little bit easier for Jesus. Okay? And that's one of the things that you need to understand, that Jesus, we use physical things to command existing power. He did it without that. He can read, he can communicate with people, he can read their minds. That's another aspect that is limited to a person. Imagine what people would do if they could read people's minds. See, you'll be able to, in the new generation, in the third gen man, we'll be able to communicate privately with each other. Think about that, without a cell phone. See, we're talking something beyond. We're talking God-level intellect. That's what God gave Adam. That's what we have. But we have to. We have this guard of the Holy Spirit, this regulator, our teacher, our comforter, our guide, to make sure that we don't get in trouble with God. Okay? I know there's some deep stuff, but this is what it is. This is what it is. It's what it is. All right. So, again, there's one aspect. So, this is particularly, let's say now, what of this is here. Like I said, before I come on the air each time, I pray in the Spirit. Amen. Because I want him to direct this event. Matter of fact, to John chapter 14, show you another part. And I can tell you, every time I take a class in school, I'm an ongoing student, person type, always graduated at the top of my class. And I would tell, I think I shock a lot of my, because almost all the time, recently, most of the students that was in the class with me were younger than me, younger than my children. So, for me to be at the top of class, but I that gave me an opportunity to share with them. Now, here we go. Jesus is talking here, and this is John chapter 14, verse 26. He said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost," so you don't be confused, he said it, "whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things," okay, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And when you read the word, that's God saying something unto you, okay? Now, so again, the Holy Spirit will teach you, different levels of mathematics. You can, before you do, just take a few minutes. I would say take no less than 5 minutes, I'm not to the point where I want to break down and analyze how you pray in the tongues, because we're going to get to that when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Of course, you can also go ahead, and I'm sure there's some YouTube videos on there, because, you want to be able to take advantage. Listen, people will take advantage of money, but this here is something they can't show off to people unless they can see it if you utilize it properly in your life, and you can be able to tell, man, I'm Holy Ghost powered. I love telling people that. I'm Holy Ghost powered. Amen. But he said he'll teach you all. Listen, he said he shall teach you all things. Not just all things concerning God, because everything, actuality, at one point in fashion, does concern it. Romans 1:20 brings that out. It said the invisible things of him from the creation of the world. So he can use things in the world to explain things to you, just like I've been saying that we're the first generation to see mankind under a microscope. So that allows me to refer and show you how your spirit controls trillions of cells. Like when I speak, to make one syllable, my spirit has to send trillions of signals to trillions of cells to do a specific act to cause my muscles to reflect in a specific way just to utter a sound. And yours have to reflect, have to capture the vibrations in the air, translate them so you'll know what I'm saying. All in less than a quarter of a, in less than 250 millionth of a second. Think about that. And when you come out of your body, as you look in Luke chapter 16, you have full capacity of your mindset, because there's a conversation there going on between two men where it says a 500-year gap between their birth and death, and yet the man is fully cognizant of who Abraham is. Now, mind you, now 500 years, there were no pictures of Abraham back then floating around. They didn't, that I know of, carve any stone figures in the wall or make any statues of him, because one, well, God hadn't given the Ten Commandments yet, but I'm pretty sure there were no statues of him, okay? So the fact of the matter is that this man knew who Abraham was. Yeah, he knew what pain was. He left his body on earth, but he knew what pain was. And all that's in the Bible, and that is was not just an illustration. I know people try to say that, but listen, and when it say a certain man, it mean that, a certain man, okay? And if you don't have to take my word. I prefer you ask God about it, so he is certified in your heart. All right, so this is a part that you can use in every aspect of your life. Particularly when you, this is why I advocate, particularly when you reading the Word of God, reading a book about the Word of God, watching a video about the Word of God, ask God for revelation. He'll say, he'll bring up some things that you probably would have let go by. A lot of people do. I mean, but, and then the Word is so deep, you know, sometimes you just can't get it without the Holy Ghost. I mean, you could be solving the problem. God, I mean, I know a doctor, a man, she specializes in cancer, and I've seen her pray in the Holy Ghost. And I'm sure that God is using her in that area because he can enhance her intelligence in that area. See, we're supposed to, our lives are supposed to advance and move forward. We can utilize this. It isn't just reserved for just the church. You know, there was a time, there was a battle between the church and, well, actually, to be more honest, it was the Catholic Church and scientists. Scientists were trying to investigate God. They were actually trying to stop. I mean, they were going to violence to try to stop them. Saying, there can't nothing replace God. God ain't worried about nobody. Man, I just heard a prophecy on that. And it was good and it was bad. I'm almost to the point where, and I mean, but I'll tell you, this. And see, this is the other thing. It will make you sensitive to God in a lot of areas. I recently had an incident where I was out doing some Uber, and I picked up, this was the one time in 6 years that I've had this happen. But the Holy Spirit was he would broadcast this negative experience. See, there's a lot of people walking around with the Holy Ghost and didn't even know how I got there. But anyway, and it was negative. Now, you know, I was prepared to deal with whatever because I've been trained in dealing with it. But the fact of being sensitive to that, so I was supposed to, so at the end of the trip, it was supposed to be a what would normally be called a round trip. You know, you drop the person, they go in someplace and come out, and then you take them back to wherever the second location is. And when he got, when all the whole time that person was in the car, Holy Spirit was just like warning Will Richard Overall, warning Richard Overall. That kind of goes back for us older people, like warning Will Robinson, warning y'all. Yeah, Lost in Space, yada, 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 y'all know that. But anyway, the fact is you be sensitive. And we're going to see other situations where people are being led of the Spirit. This is something you want to have, particularly now. Okay, because again, with the COVID thing, some people might be led not to take it because there's a testimony that God wants from them from not taking it. Others might taste it. Some one person, Jesus has healed the blind eyes. Another person, he made a replacement eye. He picked up some dirt and spit in it. You know, you got to have some clean spit put on somebody's face and get a set of eyeballs. But anyway, You want to be led of the Lord. I mean, you go shopping. You might want this purse, ladies, and then you God know it's going to be on sale for half of what you're getting ready to pay for. And you will feel oppressed in your center of your being, not in your head, the center of your being. If the center of your being is disagreeing with your head, go with the center of your being because that's where your spirit is. And you want to enhance that in every area. I mean, people can lie to you and you hear Holy Spirit, he lying, she lying. And, I mean, there are a lot of areas that we didn't get to it today. We're going to get to it next week. Where I wish it was like that, where you lied to the man of God and dropped dead. Churches would be a whole lot different. Man, I'd be amazed at what people do to pastors. Listen, there's a book of pastors in the Bible. It's also called Numbers. Read the book of Numbers slowly. I call it that because it's a lot of stuff going on with the men of God that get and draw people into big trouble when they confront the man of God. I don't care if you knew them. Listen, my brother, Pastor Gerald, overall, I am older than him, okay? I'm senior to him, but he's a pastor, period. I'm just a teacher. That puts him at a level higher than me, okay? I respect that office, okay, with all. My pastor, I'm older than my pastor. I respect his office with all. I will not say nothing negative. I will not, but you can't say nothing negative in my presence about them. I don't care what you know. They are men of God, period. That has cost a lot of people their lives, caused their health to be bad. I don't care what denomination there is. You know what? When I run into a Catholic priest, I know we got a new priesthood thing going on in the New Testament. The fact is, he's a man of God, period, in the body of Christ. I respect the body of Christ. This is why I wouldn't, listen, believe me, it was hard not saying something negative about the former president, but I didn't, because I respect the body of Christ. See, it's the body of Christ. It's not your body. It's the body of Christ. That's one of the factors that will prevent you from being blessed. God will put the blessing in. The blessing is on its way. God is, you know, this pastor, Michael Freeman, said something that boom, hit my spirit. He said, God is in your future. Listen, God ain't doing nothing for you. He has done everything for you. You have to prevent Satan from tricking you from getting him or delaying you. And these are the little things that he do to get us. So you're like, I don't care. My opinion is nothing. The word is my opinion. I don't mind telling somebody, no, I think for the Holy Ghost think for me. Okay? And this is what this is about. This is not some religious event, praying in tongues. It's not just some religious event. It is prayer at a level. It's nuclear prayer. It's the difference between a firecracker, I ain't going to say that, dynamite and a nuclear bomb. Dynamite and a nuclear bomb. That's what that is. Because it's far-reaching. And remember this, because this is why I get that phrase of prayer works by love. Prayer works by, it works by love. Let me tell you, we at the end. You think this. Anytime you think prayer, think love. Because God is love. When you have the Spirit of Christ, which is God. So whenever you praying for anybody, you are releasing God into the situation. You are releasing love into the situation. That's the motivation behind prayer. When I pray, when I'm up in the morning praying that first hour in the morning, I'm not praying just for me. Man, it takes 20 seconds for me to put my request on the line. The rest of that time is for others. I start overseas and work my way over here. I start where the Holy Ghost want me to. If you want me to pray for Costa Rica first, I pray for Costa Rica first. You want me to pray for South America, I seen a prayer for Antarctica today. You know what I mean? Wherever he wanted me to go. Look at that. God is trusting us with his power to pray for people all over the world. The reason Putin hasn't entered into Ukraine yet is the prayers of the righteous. And if we keep up the prayer, he won't go in there. Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, we got this far. Hallelujah. We did get this far. Again, think love when you think prayer. When you pray for somebody, think love. That's the effectiveness of the power. Faith works by love. Okay? Remember that. Okay, so let's put the love to work. The number one area that God put it to work was we needed redemption. Everybody needs redemption. Listen, I realize you're good. I believe that. Everybody, you know, I ain't gonna say I was good. But you need to be born again. That has to happen from on high. And it happens by the power of God. All right? Just need you to believe it. So pray this prayer with me. Lord God, I believe that Jesus is your son, and I believe that you sent him to die for our sin. And I believe and I acknowledge that I was born in sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And Lord Jesus, amen, and I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I am born again and forgiven of my sin, and I thank you for it. So, again, like I said, we're talking about the Christ. We're talking about God's, what his plan is. Because, saints, let me tell you something. We are moving closer. Today, we are one day closer to the rapture. Rapture's going to settle a whole lot of issues. You know, it's going to settle a whole lot of issues. And if you're not sure about it, you really right now, you want to make sure that you know that you know that you know. You know, don't just assume because somebody told you and his name is Pastor. You want to verify everything through God. The one thing you don't want to be is left behind after the rapture. Because, you know, there's some things that are going to go on. I got a series in there called Rapture or Retribution. Now, you want to check that out because you don't want to be here. And don't get discouraged because people are going to be acting crazier. And don't forget to command the angels daily to encamp around about you, particularly your children. Use the power that God gave us. And remember this. Prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love, and prayer is God trusting you with his power. See you next week. Praise the Lord. Shalom.